All right. Thank you, Ms. Cavanis, for that song. I hope you listened to the words and thought about those as she sung. I always liked when someone's singing to think about what they're singing, not just get caught up in the actual music part of the song, but also the message behind the song. And that's part of our worship service tonight, is listening to special music, being a part of the congregational music, and just being a part of everything at church. I want you to take your Bible tonight, if you would, and turn with me to John chapter 9. I'm going to read to you one of the most bizarre stories in all the Bible. And basically the entire chapter is going to be the text, but I'm going to look at one particular verse to pull the title of the message. John chapter 9, and while you're turning there, let me let you know what happened in the latter part of John chapter 8. Jesus has now spent time in the temple teaching, and he had a little confrontation which seemed to be just part of his ministry. It seemed everywhere he went, there was always a confrontation about who he was and who gave him the power to do what he's doing and who gave him the authority to say what he was saying. And he had a little confrontation with the Jews in the temple in the latter part of John chapter number 8. And of course, I always like it because many of these skeptics will always speak out of ignorance. And as they speak out of ignorance to Jesus, he speaks as the Son of God. And he always puts them in their place, never rudely, but always puts them in their place and then moves on down the road. Well, that's kind of where the situation is, and now he's had that confrontation with the Jews. He's pretty much put them in their place. We don't have time to go back and read those verses. But where we pick up our story tonight is now Jesus is leaving the temple. And as he's leaving the temple, he is confronted by someone just outside the temple. And I want you to stand with me, if you would, please, and begin reading with me in John chapter 9 and verse 1. The Bible said, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, Well, he's like him, but said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, Here's the title of the message, A Man That Is Called Jesus. I don't know if he had ever heard the name of Jesus before today. All he knew is a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and washed, and I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, Well, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He's a prophet. And the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. You see, is this not bizarre? I mean, nobody believes this guy. Even his own neighbor said, well, it kind of looks like him. I don't think that's him, though. I mean, this thing is going, I mean, way south here, quick. Now, notice what it says. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. And then listen to what they tell the Pharisees. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind. This is three times now. And said unto him, give God the praise. And we know that this man's a sinner. Look at verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now I want to take these verses that we've read, and I want to take the statement that this blind man made. When he was asked the question, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said in verse 11, a man that is called Jesus. What more does he have to say? That's all I know. His name was Jesus. And then he went ahead and told them what the instructions that he gave them. Now, Father, bless our time. We're so grateful to be a part of this time together tonight. Open our heart. Open our eyes to truth. And we'll thank you for what you should do in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Our text verse tonight is found right in the middle of one of the most bizarre stories in the New Testament. You see, Jesus departs the temple, and as he's departing the temple in the beginning of chapter number 9, he encounters a blind man. Now, this blind man is sitting there at the temple, which I'm assuming he does quite frequently. He knows where to go. The disciples determine that he's blind due to sin. Either he sinned or his parents sinned, one or the other. Jesus then takes, and after explaining the situation to the disciples, spits in the clay, places it on his eye, on the eyes of the blind man, and then tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, the blind man goes and does so, and guess what happens? He receives his sight. You see, the blind man then is encountered by his neighbors, and they're trying to determine if it's the same guy or not. I mean, you would think if you've played together since kids, you'd recognize the guy, right? You'd think if you've been there day after day that you'd kind of recognize who he is. I doubt very seriously his appearance changed just because his eyes opened. So basically what they were doing, they were questioning whether or not this thing could possibly be true. So finally they said, I'll tell you what, we'll take you to the Pharisees. We'll take you to the temple.
There we'll find the answer.
Well, he encounters the Pharisees, and three different times they questioned him. You sure you were blind from birth?
And the guy's telling him, I was blind from birth. I ought to know. I'm the one that's been blind.
Are you sure?
They didn't even believe him, so they said, go get his parents. They'll know.
So they bring his parents in, and they said, is this your son?
Yeah, it's him.
Same guy.
Has he been blind from his birth?
Ask him. He's a grown man. Ask him.
So they ask him again, are you sure you were blind from birth?
Tell us, how can your eyes be open?
And by this time, the blind man's getting frustrated with them.
I've already told you, and you won't hear me.
And then he makes a statement that gets him kicked out.
He makes the statement, he says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing.
And so the Pharisees said, you're his disciple, and they kicked him out.
Matter of fact, the Bible says they cast him out. They threw him out of their presence.
Isn't it amazing how that when you can go out soul winning and talk to people, you can talk about church all day.
People talk to you about church all day long.
Boy, you can talk about family, you can talk about this, but the moment you bring Jesus up, it's a whole different story.
You see, they were talking in general terms, but he kept going back to Jesus.
And that's what they couldn't handle.
And finally, they said, who do you think this is?
Oh, he's a prophet. And they were going on and back and forth and back and forth.
Finally, they just said, you know what? Get out.
But you know, that's what Jesus does to people.
You see, the thing about it is, there's no in-between with him.
It's either, you either embrace Christ or people reject Christ.
And so Jesus makes a difference.
And boy, I'm telling you, you start talking to people and you start bringing Jesus up and it makes all the difference in the world to them.
You see, Jesus had not only revealed himself here in John chapter 9 by healing this blind man, but he had revealed himself in many different ways throughout the scripture and throughout his earthly ministry. If you go back to John chapter 3, you'll find there that to Nicodemus, he was rabbi, teacher, and came to Jesus by night, and Jesus led him to a saving grace of Christ.
To the woman at the well in John chapter 4, you know what he told her? He said, I am the living water.
Hey, you drank of me, you'll thirst no more.
And you know what she said? Give me of this water.
I want some of this water where when you drink it, you'll thirst no more.
Man, can you imagine that?
Man, Jesus had Gatorade over the barrel on that one, right?
You see, to the 5,000 hungry men, he was nourishment in John chapter 6.
To the seeking multitudes in John chapter 6, he said he was the bread of life.
To the adulterous woman in John chapter 8, he was a light of grace. He said, go and sin no more.
To the lost men, he said in John chapter 10 that he was the door to eternal life.
To the sheep of God, the followers of God, he said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice.
You see, to Mary and Martha in John chapter 11, he said he was the resurrection and the life.
To the disciples in John chapter 13, he displayed himself as a servant as he removed their sandals and washed their feet.
You see, to all mankind, in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
To the believer, in John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine.
You abide in me, and I in you.
Listen, he goes on and on and on and on.
So this gives us some idea and some knowledge of how this dear blind man felt when he said, listen, guys, I don't know all about it. I don't know his resume. I don't know his background.
All I know is this. Once I was blind, now I see. And all I know is His name is called Jesus. That's all I know. Hey, he wasn't concerned about anything else. He could see. Wasn't concerned about, well, you know what, Lord, please, before you put that spit on my eye, and let me check out and make sure that you're doctrinally correct before you do this. He wasn't concerned about any of that. You know, isn't it amazing how many of us, we thought, well, wait a minute, before God, before you bless me, let me check you out and see if you've done this before. And we want to check him out to make sure that he is able to do what he promised that he could do. Hey, the thing about this blind man, he didn't know anything other than a man called Jesus walked by one day. And he put clay on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I did, and guess what? Now I see. And then, listen, the religious people who's supposed to know the Word of God argued with him. Now, with that said, I want to make some observations of these verses that we read over the few minutes now that we have together. And I want you to go back to John chapter 9, and I want you to look, if you would, at verse number 1. The Scripture says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man which was blind from his birth. Now I want you to notice verse number 2. His followers, his disciples, supposedly the spiritual people, supposedly the ones who ought to know truth. You know what they ask him? They ask him a ridiculous question. Lord, this man's blind. Who sinned, him or his parents? How ridiculous. What are they thinking? Now Jesus says, come on guys, come on. Neither he nor his parents sinned. Now you say, what's observation number one, Brother Todd, that we need to look at? Here's observation number one here. Just because something bad happens to someone, it doesn't mean they're being judged by God. You see, the disciples, when they looked, all they could see was blindness. So you know what? In their little pea brain, they put two and two together and said, somebody messed up. Either he did, or his parents did, or he wouldn't be in this condition. Right? I mean, it certainly couldn't have anything with a depraved world, could it? Certainly couldn't have anything to do with sin, could it? Certainly couldn't have anything to do that sin has contaminated the world, including our health system. So you know why this man was blind? Jesus said, he's not blind because anybody sinned. You see, Jesus, the disciples were looking only on the outward appearance, but Jesus could look upon the heart. He understood this man's not in this condition because somebody sinned. You say, Brother Todd, I can take you to all kinds of places in the Bible where God, there's people, and God judged them because of their sin. Yeah, and you probably pick an easy one. I tell you what, don't go look for it. Let me help you with an easy one, all right? How about David? He's always a pretty easy target, right? We like to dance on his name a little while and point out his afflictions and his sins. Yeah, you know what? Sure, he messed up with Bathsheba. Sure, he numbered the people. Sure, he murdered Uriah. But you know why David was judged of God for that? Because of bad choices. This blind man, Jesus said, well, this guy didn't make a choice to become this way. He was born that way. You see, because bad things happen to people is the judgment of God, if we deem that so, then let me tell you something. One of the worst people in the Bible was the Apostle Paul. He went from jail to jail, beating to beating. I mean, he got every city he went in, just about he got cast out. So what I'm saying, when things happen that are bad, doesn't mean they're being judged by God. Now, you say, all right, then why was this man blind? Well, first of all, before I tell you why Jesus said this man was blind, can I say it's not my job or your job to determine why something's happening to certain people? You know why? Because I don't know. I don't know what God's doing. You say, what's he doing in your life? Well, There's a lot of things he's doing in my life, and that's about the only person I know of what's going on, because I certainly don't know what's going on in yours. And so for me to say, oh, who sinned? Was it you or your parents? Right? And Jesus kindly told the disciples, he said, neither of the parents nor him sinned. Look at verse 3. He says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You see, the thing about it is, folks, Jesus said this man was blind that the works of God would be manifest so that God would get glory. Do you think for one second that when Jesus left the temple that he didn't already know, I'm fixing to heal a blind man? You see, some of us think, oh, he just happened up on him. No, he already knew it was going to happen. He already knew he was going to heal. You know, that's the reason he could look at his disciples and say, man, guys, what are you doing? He didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. He's blind because we're fixing to have God get all the glory for it. You see, just because bad things happen to people doesn't mean that God's judging them in our life. Does God judge sin? Yes. But just because someone faces a crisis in life, it doesn't mean that it's the judgment of God on their life. And by the way, God doesn't give you or me the right to say it is to anybody. Man, I tell you one thing. You want to get God upset? Start making false accusations against people. And he'll say, you know what? You're so concerned about this judgment thing. Maybe me and you need to have a little conversation about it. Now, so just because bad things happen doesn't mean God's judging them, and Jesus set the disciples straight on that. Let me give you observation number two. Go back to verse number one. Okay, John 9, verse 1. Did you notice it says, and as Jesus passed by. Here's observation number two. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. You know, I'm sure that this blind man, this was not his first time. This probably was not his second time to show up at the temple. I have a sneaky suspicion this guy probably showed up multiple times at the temple. He said, what's he doing? Well, we find out that from his neighbors, he's begging for one thing. Because he couldn't work, couldn't hold a job, couldn't see, obviously. So how was he going to work? How was he going to provide if he had a family? I wonder if this blind man woke up that morning and said, man, I just don't think I'm going to go today. Boy, my goodness, it's 200 yards down there. And I just don't think I'm going to go sit at the temple today. I think what I'm going to do is stay at the house, you know, just do some things around the house. I just don't feel like begging today. Can I say this to you? If he'd have decided that, he'd still been a blind man. You see, he decided, you know what, I think I'm going to go back down there today. I don't know, I just think I need to. You see, he just happened to be at the right place at the right time. Because let me say something to you, folks. It was that day that Jesus passed by. You know, there's been a lot of great men that have claimed that 80% of success is just simply being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. You see, that blind man was in his place at the right time when Jesus passed by. And he was the recipient of a life-changing blessing. Now, with that said, let me say this to us as church members. We miss out on so many blessings because when Jesus passes by, we're not in the right place. Now, notice here where the blind man was hanging out. He was hanging out around the temple. You know where we need to spend, where we need to do a little more hanging out? Around the church. Because I'm telling you, when Jesus passed by, you better be here. Because you're going to miss a blessing when he passes by and he's casting blessings and meeting needs and answering prayer. Where we need to be is in the place where we should be. You see, we better start making it a habit
to hang out around the church as much as possible. You see, there's a lot of folks that intentionally not show up at the house of God. And I'm telling you what happens the very Sunday that Jesus passes by, they're not there. The very Sunday, he says, you know what? I think I'm going to do a great work in the Shaddock's house today. But may I say to you, do you know that Brother and Mrs. Shaddock's have a free will whether to be here or not be here? He's not going to make them be here. He's just simply going to decide, I'm passing by today. And you know what? If they're there, guess what? They could receive a life-changing blessing in their life. You see, this blind man was in a place where he had been probably for months, maybe for years, begging, except this was a different day. This was a day when Jesus passed by and his whole life changed. You see, folks, I don't know about you, but I want a life-changing blessing. I want a life-changing. I don't want to be the same today that I was yesterday. I want to be a better believer tomorrow than I was today, than I was yesterday. You see, I came to church tonight because, you know what, I just expect Jesus to pass by and I don't want to miss him. I don't want to miss the blessing when he passes by. Could be a life-changing blessing. Let me give you observation number 3. Now, the unusual thing is when Jesus recognized the blind man, I want you to notice that he spat on the ground, the Bible says in verse number 6, and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, there would be some, I'm sure, that may have been standing by and said, spit? Did you see that? He put spit in that man's eye. And I'm sure that there were probably some that probably criticized him because he spit in the clay and wiped it on the man's eyes. Because, by the way, we're too dignified to do that, right? We wouldn't have done that. But may I say to you, you'll find out that Jesus many times never did anything the way we would have done it. But the unusual thing about this, and here's number 3, God operates his will for your life based on your faith in his word. Let me say that again. It's important. God operates his will for your life based on your faith in his word. Now, I want you to listen to me now. The blind man was not healed until he washed in Siloam. Now, I don't know if you say, why Siloam? Why not Bethesda? That might have been closer. Or some other pool. Matter of fact, there were quite a number of pools around Jerusalem. But you know, as I did a little bit of study, I found out that Siloam, the pool of Siloam, was spring-fed. It was fed by a spring dug by King Hezekiah in his tunnels, and it was fed by the spring called Gihon. Remember Jesus talking and saying, I am, in John chapter 4, living water. You drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. So he specifically said, go wash in Siloam. Now you say, well, what's so unusual about that, Brother Todd? Because when Jesus spat on the ground and made the clay and put it on his eyes, he wasn't healed yet. So I decided I'd just go and take a look at a map of Jerusalem in Jesus' day and determine about how far it was from the temple to where the pool was. Because keep in mind, he's still blind. And not only is he still blind, now he's got mud in his eye. Right? So Jesus tells him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. He's like, he's got mud in his eyes and spit in his eye now. And Jesus is telling a blind man, go find the pool of Siloam, and once you get there, wash in there. You see, the blind man had to travel to what is called Lower Jerusalem, where the pool of Siloam was, where the spring was located, and they approximate that from the temple it was about 1/5 of a mile. Now, I don't know if he had ever been to the pool of Siloam or not. I don't know if he even knew the way to Siloam. But you know what? He found his way there, bless God. I don't know if he knew if he'd ever been taken there by a taxi camel or what. But I know this, he found it. Because you know what? That's where Jesus said, go wash. Let me tell you something. The Lord tells you to do something, and he says, what's waiting there is your sight. You'll find a way to find it. And may I say to you, God's got a perfect will for your life. And he's not going to grab you by the hand and lead you to it. You know what he's going to do in your life? He's going to put some spit and some clay in your eye, and he's going to give you some directions of what you're to do. You do it, you can receive your sight. And that blind man somehow, some way, made his way from the temple by faith, because all he knew is it was just a man called Jesus. So he had spit in his eye, clay in his eye, and somehow found his way to the pool of Siloam, washed in the pool, and guess what happened? He was healed, just like Jesus said he would be. That's the reason he said, hey, I don't know if this man's a sinner or not. All I know is once I was blind, now I see. And he told him, he said, how did he heal you? Well, I told you he spit in my eye and put dirt in it. And I went washing it, and I can see now. They just couldn't accept that, just like they couldn't accept his virgin birth. Just like they couldn't accept him as Messiah being born in a manger. They couldn't accept that either. You see, I don't know if whether he knew the way or had ever been there, but it was the will of God for his life. He found it by faith. You see, it's the same truth, church, that God operates on for salvation. You see, we have to accept Jesus by faith. God has provided salvation, but you still have to receive it. He's already provided it for us, but you know something? He's not going to make anybody be saved. Here it is. Here's Christ. If you want salvation, you're going to have to come. Just like he told that blind man, now listen, I know I spit in your eye, and I know I put dirt in it, but if you'll go wash in the pool of Siloam, you'll receive your sight. Now listen, he didn't say, well, can you give me your credentials? Can somebody tell me who this man is? What's his resume? What's his doctrinal statement? What church does he belong to? Does anybody know any information? Didn't ask any of that. He just went and did it by faith. And guess what he received? His sight. Do you know that's how you're going to have to pursue the will of God? By faith. Do you know Abraham had no idea what God was doing, and he followed God absolutely, basically blind? Just followed him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now let me give you observation number four quickly. There will always be people who deny truth regardless of the facts. There will always be people who deny truth regardless of the facts. Facts to them make no difference. You see, the thing about it is, here's a man that was born blind from his birth. His parents have already identified him. That's him. His friends say, well, some of them said, we think that's him. Some said, boy, it looks like him. Some said, I don't know if that's him or not. And can I say to you that the facts were there? Three times he told them how he was healed and who healed him. But there's just going to be some people going to deny the truth regardless of what the facts are. You see, some denied it was the same man. The Pharisees tried to intimidate him and manipulate his parents. And by the way, did you notice that the rulers wanted the blind man to deny Jesus credit and just say, don't say Jesus did it. Just say, give glory to God. Don't give glory to Jesus. Well, he couldn't do that because it was Jesus. It was the man called Jesus that healed him. You see, the facts were there, but there's just going to be some that are going to deny truth regardless of what the facts are. You see, Jesus caused division. Matter of fact, he caused division, we find in the Scriptures, among them. And he does today. People talk to you about church and anything else, like I mentioned, hey, but you mention Jesus, everything changes. I mean, when Jesus comes into the conversation, everything changes. And yet, how many times have I opened the Word of God and explained to somebody how to be saved and even given them a personal testimony about my salvation, and I lay out very plainly what the truth is, and there's just some people, they're not going to believe the truth regardless of the facts. Just not going to do it. And here were these Pharisees, had living proof standing right in front of him. This guy was born blind, now he can see. How did it happen? A man called Jesus did this. Oh, don't say Jesus, just say God. And by the way, do you know what? Kind of the same idea that most of supposed Christendom today. Oh, don't mention Jesus, just say God. No. It was Jesus. It was Jesus that spit in the clay. It was Jesus that put it in his eye. It was Jesus that told him to go to Siloam. It was Jesus that healed him. Now here's the last observation. Jesus healed his blind eyes before he saved his soul. Look, if you would, in John chapter 9. And look it down, if you would, after they cast him out, verse 35, the Bible says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now let me tell you how I know the guy wasn't saved. Because here's his answer, and he said unto him, does your King James Bible say, who is he? Huh? What are you talking about? What Son of God? Who is he? He didn't even know that's who it was. That's the reason that Jesus, listen, why did he say that he healed the blind man? For the glory of God. The blind man goes, still lost, and yet still acted by faith, went and got his sight back, went back, had the conflict with the Pharisees, kicked out of the temple, and Jesus found him. He said, do you believe the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he? Lord, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You see, Jesus healed his blind eyes before he saved his soul. He said, what does that, I don't understand, Brother Todd, what does that mean? That means if you've got a loved one that's lost, that doesn't mean it disqualifies them from a touch from God. Because this man's soul, he didn't even get born again till after he was healed. You see, we got people out there that think, well, you know, God's not going to heal anybody that's lost, and he's not going to touch anybody's body that may not know Christ. He did that guy. He saved him after he healed him. So don't ever give up in praying for your friends or loved ones or your next door neighbor that may be going through a physical infirmity. God can touch them as well. And boy, did you see how easy? It didn't take this guy. This guy didn't have to be prompt to be saved. Jesus, same Jesus now. Same Jesus. All he knew was his name. Hadn't seen him. Because remember, his eyes weren't open until after he washed in the pool of Siloam. So he washes the pool of Siloam. He comes up. Oh, I can see. He'd never seen Jesus yet. That's the reason he said, who is he? Well, I'm talking to you. I'm the one. I believe. That's how simple it was. You see, Jesus healed his blind eyes before he saved him. The blind man was acting on faith to be healed from his blindness. See, God's very specific. This is why Jesus found him to address his soul. That's the reason when you go out soul winning, you need to make sure it's the salvation of the soul. Because a lot of people say, oh yes, I'm saved. Well, can you tell me about it? Well, one night, I was walking down the street. And I don't know what happened. It started raining, lightning in the sky. And this bright light, it just... And man, I just felt so good inside. And I know I had to be saved. I know I had to be. Listen, folks, I've been out knocking doors and sowing for 25 years. I've heard it all just about. But you know, I said, you know what? I'm sure you had an incredible experience. But let me ask you something. Do you know Christ as Savior? If you died today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? I don't know that. There you go. You see, they weren't talking about salvation of the soul. They were talking about something totally different. That's the reason when you go out and be and witnessing and you're out trying to get people saved, let me tell you what you do. You got to be specific. Christ was specific. That's the reason he went and found him. He saved his soul. You see, the blind man was confronted about his salvation, and he used the same faith to get born again as he did to be healed. Same faith. Now here's the conclusion. The blind man, he wasn't concerned about Jesus' background. He wasn't concerned about a resume. He wasn't concerned about anything. He had nothing to lose by following those instructions. Nothing. No one else had offered him help. So what did he have to lose? Absolutely nothing. I don't know how many years he'd been sitting there, but I doubt very seriously he had had very many people come and spit in his eye. Now, they might have spit on him, but I doubt very seriously that he had very many people that came and spit and made mud out and stuck it in his eye. And then on top of that, tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is about a fifth of a mile. Who would ask a blind man to do that? So you know what I think? I think once all this happened, he's thinking, you know what? Nobody's ever done this before. And this is so crazy. There's got to be something to this. What do I have to lose? So he gets up, finds the pool of Siloam, washes, and gets his sight. You see, today here we are in 2010. And may I say to you, church, we waste way too much time trying to check out Jesus' credentials before we believe. We got to check it all out, but we're just not going to believe it. And here's a man that all he knew was a name. Who healed you? I don't know. A man called Jesus. That's all I know. How am I supposed to know? I can't even see. How am I supposed to tell you who it is? What do you want me to do? Tell him what he's wearing too? I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, now I see. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Now, Father, we're grateful to be here and thank you for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God up and just do a little study and help us to understand the importance of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And yet, Father, you take this very bizarre story in the Bible and you teach us so many things from it. And I pray that you'd have your will in this invitation tonight. Stir our hearts, I pray, concerning truth. And with heads bowed and eyes